All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to go ahead and do the third message on the rapture tonight, and then next Sunday morning we'll finish with Left Behind. What about those that are left behind? And then we'll get back into Revelation next Sunday night as we begin to look at the binding of Satan. And he's bound for 1,000 years during the millennial kingdom, and we'll talk about that. But tonight, it's going to be more of a topical message. And did I tell you 1 Thessalonians?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go right on to the outline there, Morgan. Let's go to James. There we are. No, what do you call that? I got an executive privilege. I'm exempt from tickets. There's only one higher than me that can take it away, and she just spoke, okay? James, go to James chapter 5, if you will, right behind Hebrews, and look at verses 7 and 8. The rapture is near. I'll give you time to look for. I'm more understanding for those that take a long time to find something in the Bible, because it takes me a while to find it in the songbook. So James chapter 5. Verse 7 and 8. The rapture is near. We gave two messages on the rapture, and then tonight's the third one about why I believe it's closer than it's ever been. Next week we'll talk about those left behind and what they can expect. And I'll leave the CD under the pulpit, but this time don't steal it. You ought to know by now what to expect, so don't steal it, okay? So anyway, the rapture is near. You know, the last two Sunday nights, again, we preached on this, and we got tonight and the next week. But let me give you a few general observations. No one knows exactly when Jesus will come in the rapture. One of the signs of a false teacher is they give you a date. If you give you a date, they just wrote false teacher across their forehead. Number two, the church has always expected the soon return of Jesus and what is called the imminent return of Christ. Paul expected Christ to come in his lifetime, and we expect him to come in our lifetime. Now, I'm going to give you a big word here. The way we interpret Scripture is not allegorical, but a literal, historical, grammatical approach to interpreting the Scripture gives nothing else but a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And now, what do I mean by a literal, historical, grammatical approach? In other words, the Bible says what it says, and it means what it means. In other words, a literal interpretation. We don't read it in no other sense except a literal, except when it makes no sense, then it's symbolic. It's not an allegory. God wrote the Bible so we can understand it. And historical means you put it in its historical context. And grammatical means it's good to look at the words, Hebrew and Greek, and look at the structure and the syntax of the verses. And if you take a literal, historical, grammatical sense, you cannot come up with anything else except the church will be raptured before the tribulation period. Now, we're going to have tribulation, but not 7 years of the tribulation. God has not appointed us to that wrath. Now, fourthly, let me share with you another observation. As we see the birth pains getting closer and getting more frequent and more severe, birth pains are in Matthew 24. They are birth pains up to the coming judgment for this world. And this world is ripe for judgment. And the world is about to give birth, like a woman in travail, Matthew 24 says. And so these signs, like earthquake, pestilence, whatever, are all signs of the coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ, signs of the tribulation. But because we see these birth pains getting more intense and more frequent, we can know that the second coming is getting near, but guess what happens before that? 7 years earlier, the church is raptured. So we're looking for the Lord to come in the air. We're not looking for the Antichrist. I forgot to tell you that I have a handout on the table back there about shows you the difference between the rapture passages and the second coming passages. And it shows you the difference in the first coming and the second coming. And they're all back, it's back there on the table. That would do well, because even a lot of preachers don't know, and they get the verses all wrong. Now, let's look at our text. James chapter 5, 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren. Now, I'll tell you in a minute what he's telling them to be patient about. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. In other words, the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. It takes patience to be a fisherman. It takes patience to be a farmer, right? He said, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Speaking of in Palestine, you had the rain in the fall and the rain in the spring. The farmers depended on that. But in verse 8, he says, be ye also patient. He uses that illustration to talk to them in verse 8. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So he's using a farmer illustration to talk about how we need to be patient for the Lord's coming. Why? Because the context of James 7 and 8 is writing about endurance and trials. And they were under severe persecution. And he's saying, endure, you wait, you be patient. The Lord is coming. Okay? That's the context of the verse. And so just as the farmer waits patiently for the harvest, the people of God wait for God's harvest of believers. There's going to be a harvest of believers at the rapture of the church. So the coming of the Lord, the rapture, is near, is at hand, is what he's talking about. This is not talking about the second coming. This is a passage that's talking about the rapture. Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. We as God people need to be alert. We need to have vigor. We need to be watchful. We need to tend to the things of God, because the things of this earth are not going to matter, right? And we need to be awake and alert that we, front of the bulletin, right? Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, as so much the more as you see that day approaching. We ought to be even more faithful in our church attendance, because the Lord is coming. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope, that's the rapture. And, he takes us 7 years later, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Both comings are right there. One in the air for the church, and the one when he sets his feet on the Mount of Olives is right there. So there are no signs for the imminent return, but because we see the signs for the tribulation and the second coming of Christ, we can know that the rapture is getting closer. Everybody tracking with me so far, right? It's kind of like walking around the building out there. If you go outside in the daylight and walk around the building, and you stand there on your side of the corner, and you'll see the shadows coming, the shadows get longer and longer, so somebody's coming around the corner to meet you, right? So this is what, we see the shadows, we see the birth pains getting longer and more severe and more frequent, and so we know that the coming of our Lord is near. Now, I want to share with you 9 reasons why I believe the rapture is near. Number one, the formation of the state of Israel in 1948. Why is that important? Because Israel must be in the land to receive the promises of the millennial kingdom. You know, right? You don't have to be brilliant to understand that, right? And for the Antichrist to march on them at the Battle of Armageddon. So they've got to be in the land. Now, they're going back now, you know, little bit by little bit, but there's going to come a time when they're going to be supernaturally taken back to the land that they've been promised. We see that in Ezekiel 36:24, one of the greatest promises to the nation of Israel. And why we don't believe in replacement theology, the church is not the new Israel. The church is the church, Israel is Israel, right, Brother John? And listen to this promise, Ezekiel 36. Verse 24, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land, the blessings of Christ's kingdom. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, talking about salvation, And you shall be clean, and all your filthiness from all your idols will I cleanse you. That's a great promise to the nation of Israel that God's not through with them. So the first thing is the formation of the nation of Israel in 1948. Boy, don't you know Satan hated that? And he hates anybody that has anything to do with Israel. And that's why he hates Trump. I don't know if it was you, Brother Ray, or Robert this morning said that our battle is not with those in the opposing party. Our battle is with satanic. They are his agents, right? So we need to go, what does that tell us in our prayer time? We need to go beyond just praying against another party, but to pray for those forces that are behind them that are working this evil. Do you see what I'm saying? And so the formation of the state of Israel. Second sign is the increase in birth pains, as explained in Matthew 24, 3 through 14. And these birth pains, like a woman in travail getting ready, the world is getting ready to for judgment, and pregnant with judgment, and they're going to get more frequent, more intense, more natural disasters, Matthew 24, 3 through 14, more Christ, false Christ, more wars and rumors of wars, and more pestilence. All that's going to increase until the Lord comes. So we see this increasing now, so we know it's getting closer, right? Man, I hear about tornadoes, and I hear about volcanoes. That's different from a volcano, right? But volcanoes, I hear about, you know, different places. Whoever thought, I saw the other day, Jason, where they had a big tornado in South Dakota, you know? They're fixing, and as hot as it is right now, there's parts of America that's fixing to have a snowstorm, right? So all these things are weird. And so as we see these birth pains getting more frequent, more intense, we know that it's getting closer. The third reason why I believe the rapture is closer than it's ever been is the increase in the ecumenical movement. What is that? All faiths can be one. You take the best of, Brother Robert touched on this one time, I think. It might have been in Sunday school. You take the best doctrines of Islam. By the way, there are none. And you take the best doctrines of Christianity, and you take the best of the New Age movement, and you put them all together, and you got a hodgepodge, right? Ecumenical movement is leading up to the one world church. That doctrine doesn't matter. We can't be judgmental. These false teachers are still with us today, but this is all leading up to the one world church. And I don't know how many times I've heard people that they claim to be Christians, but they talk about they're accepting of these false doctrines that are coming into the church. And they're accepting of it. But that is just evidence that we're headed to this one world church that will be destroyed. The one world leader of this church will be revealed in Revelation 13. Remember the false prophet? And he will be destroyed in Revelation 17 and 18 along with political Babylon. Okay? So it's going to increase. It's going to get worse. We will never overcome false teachers. Okay? They're going to get worse. And somebody, if you're talking to somebody and if you go up to them and say, man, this world's in a bad way, it's going to get worse, and till Jesus comes, they'll look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. What are you talking about? We're going to solve all these problems, you know? And they have no understanding. They're not in the real world. They're not in their Bible, right? And so the increase in the ecumenical movement. Again, 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, the last days, some shall depart from the faith. What? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or doctrines of demons. All of this, and I shared this with y'all before, all teachings of false cults and, well, not how can you be a false cult? That's a double negative, right? All teachings of false teachers and all teachings of the cults is doctrines of demons. They didn't get it out of the Bible, right? 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there comes a falling away first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. So when the church is taken out, yeah, we're going to have increased apostasy, people being going to be revealed for not being a believer. It's not that they lost it. And when it's taken out of here, the restrainer's taken out of here, all Hades is going to break loose on this earth. And then number four, the decline of moral standards. I mean, a lot of this don't need no explanation. All you got to do is watch the news. Right used to be right, wrong used to be wrong. Now right is wrong and wrong is right, right? And we are not loving because we don't accept wrong, right? Well, I'll get confused there a little bit, but so right is wrong and wrong is right. And they teach us today that there are no moral absolutes. There are no doctrinal absolutes. There's no absolute truth. It's whatever you want it to be. If you believe that abortion is not murder, you have that right to believe that. And who am I to tell you that abortion is murder, right? There's no standard to go by then if you don't believe in absolute truth, right? And so it's situational and convenient opinions, not based on what the Word of God says, right? And so who are you to tell me that? We got a whole movement of that in one denomination called the Emerging Church Movement. Who are you to tell me that's the right interpretation of that verse? Well, I've been trained. I know how to interpret Scripture. I depend upon the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, and that's what it means, right? Until I'm convinced otherwise by the Holy Spirit of God, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, right? So the decline of moral standards. Let me give you a verse, 2 Timothy 3:1-5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, grievous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. You know, we don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure out who he's talking about. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Wow. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, of such what? Turn away. And then number five, spirit of lawlessness and anarchy in all levels of our society. And you can see it. Brother Robert talked about coming under the biblical authority. We're living in a day where people won't even to respect authority, whether it's police, whether it's school, whether it's principals, whether it's at work, whether it's at church, whether it's here or whether it's there. You know, the very group that wants to blame us for being fascist, Antifa, and that's what the word means, fascist. They are fascists themselves, you know. It's terrible. I looked it up this morning. We were talking about policemen getting killed. The number this year, according to where I read it, was 7 police have been killed this year. Seems like it would be more, doesn't it? But that's what it come from, a good source. If you find a different source, let me know. Again, you got to understand what source you're looking at, right? So there's a spirit of lawlessness and anarchy in all levels of society. Let me read to you 2 Thessalonians 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. What's that? That's the spirit of the Antichrist, the lawless system. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. It's a he and it's the church and a he. When the Holy Spirit's taken out, as far as restraining evil, then it's going to really be bad. And then shall the wicked be revealed, the wicked one. See, one of the reasons why I'm pre-trib, because the restrainer will be taken out before the wicked one is revealed. And he said, shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. He's taken us all the way to when he's cast into the lake of fire, and shall be destroyed with the brightness of his coming. So there's going to be a spirit of lawlessness and anarchy in all levels of society. And you think it's bad now, you know, when the church is taken out, whoa, I don't want to be here. and I'm not going to be here. Number six, rise of persecution against Christians and Jews. And it goes all the way back to Isaac and Jacob. The Arabs, or Islam, thinks they're the promised. They are the promised descendants of the promised seed, Ishmael. But the promise was in Isaac, wasn't it? It wasn't in Ishmael. And so you give a rise. That's why they hate us. This is why Arabs hate us. They hate Israel. They hate the Word of God. And it gives a rise to false cults and apostasy from the fundamentals of the faith. 1 John 2:18 says this, little children, John says, it is the last time. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Okay, there's one who is coming, right? That shall come. Even now, there are many Antichrists, whereby you know the time is it's the last time. Because we see these prototypes of the Antichrist who are Antichrist instead of Christ and hate Christ, counterfeiters. They're being revealed, coming up to the man of sin who will be revealed, the Antichrist. Number seven, and you may not have never thought about this. You have to know a little bit about your Bible. The kingdom parables in Matthew 13 let us know it's getting close. You remember the seven parables in Matthew 13 where it gives the birth of the church, the beginning, the seed that is planted, and goes all the way to the harvest? And in between, there are different stages of the growth of the church, okay, the kingdom. And also in that is not only good growth, but the increase of tares and increase of cults. In Matthew 13, there's going to be an increase of an infection, if you will, or contamination of the church by the false believers, see? And it's going like that right now. We see, and we know we're getting close to the near the last of those seven parables, so that we know that the harvest is getting close. And what happens before the harvest? The rapture of the church. Number eight, the alignment of the nations for end time events. When I was growing up, I always heard that Russia would be involved in end time events, and I wondered how is that going to be possible with the collapse of the Soviet Union. But guess what came out of the Soviet Union? Russia, right? Gog and Magog. And Ezekiel 38 and 39, Ezekiel's war. And they're going to march on Israel from the north with all the Islamic nations, and they're going to be destroyed. Also, we see the collapse of America. God is, you know, I hate to tell you this, but we got to be out of the way to allow all these end time events happen. We see the increase of the EU, the European Community, and what is called the Revived Roman Empire, where the Antichrist will come from. More talk about this, about Brexit, and about this, and getting out of here, getting out of there. But I'm telling you, the EU will play a major role, European Community, in the last days, okay? And so we see these nations aligning up. You know, Iran, Turkey, all of them. We see God getting them in position. And I believe right now he's got China on the back burner. You know, they're getting bigger and bigger, and a lot of Bible scholars believe they are the army that will march across the Euphrates to the Battle of Armageddon, army of 200 million. So the trade war with China is not going to end well. I'll go ahead and tell you that. Okay? See, the thing about Revelation, I told the guys that, why? Because we look into Revelation and we see what's going to happen, it'll shed a lot of light on the present. We can know more about why it's happening the way it's happening, because it's going to find its culmination in the tribulation period. And then the one that is obvious, the increase in scoffers. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter warns us about scoffers. He says in verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. See, that's the lie. So let's look at this. Peter tells us there's going to be an increase in scoffers. And what do we see today, right? Let me go ahead and lay my cards on the table, if y'all excuse that expression. This is why I'm against any kind of movement to infringe on the Second Amendment. They say, well, we'll just make this little law and we'll do this. No, they want more than that. And this is why I'm afraid we cannot fall for the, what is that called, the red law? The what is that called? Red flag law. Some guy, crazy guy, not taking his medicine, they're going to red flag him and go get his guns. But guess who's going to be crazy as we get closer to the Lord's return? Evangelical Christians. They're going to say they believe in the second coming. They believe Jesus is coming. They believe in moral absolutes, doctrinal absolutes. We're going to red flag them. We're going to take their gun. Right, Brother Rex? Well, out of your cold, dead hand, I know, but that's where it's headed. There is nothing good coming out of the red flag law. You know, we got enough law in the books to keep these kind of people from purchasing a gun. Right? I was just giving you a little history lesson there, letting you know. But it's coming. They're going to red flag this and they're going to red flag. And do you want some politician that doesn't love God in Washington, D.C. determining whether or not you should buy a gun? Right? Okay. You say, well, that's politics. Well, it has to do with prophecy too, okay? All right. Now, so the fact that they're scoffers lets us know the Bible is true and we're getting closer. All right? So as we see these signs proliferating, we know that the tribulation is getting closer. The second coming of Christ is getting closer. But guess what happens before that? The rapture of the church. We can look at Matthew 24. We can look at the Bible. We can see the signs. And we know that Christ is getting ready to come for his church. So the shadows get closer. The prefigures get closer. And they're going to be fulfilled in the substance when Christ actually comes at the Battle of Armageddon. No invitation tonight. We'll cut it short so people can get to the hospital. Father, we thank you tonight for your word, and we look forward to not only tonight, but we look forward to next Sunday morning when we talk about what those who are left behind can expect when the church is taken out. We were talking about that a little bit in the men's prayer time tonight. It's going to be just like the millennium, when Christ comes at the second coming and sets his millennial reign be heaven on earth, it's going to be Hades on earth during the tribulation period. And we've been to this in Revelation. Lord, if somebody's not right tonight, they need to repent of their sins and they need to place their faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Because the answer to the sin is Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus tonight. Amen.